Everyone is talking and writing about innovation. It's the fuel of business strategy. Design and innovation are words that are often used together or interchangeably. Design for us is both a broad concept of change through human problem solving and a word used to describe specific fields such as engineering design, interface design, or industrial design. The power of the new design for innovation is fueling an engine of change that is driving the production of things to come. It's the result of interdisciplinary teams, and it dynamically leads to comprehensive solutions that consumers respond to emotionally, cognitively, and then economically. Few books, however, provide an understanding of how to deconstruct the process in a way that anyone can use to turn a cost-centric approach into an innovation-driven strategy. The challenge in design for innovation is to help everyday people stretch and grow to accomplish extraordinary things. As authors from three different disciplines, we're strongly committed to understanding the innovative process. We represent three core areas that companies rely on for innovation of physical products: business, engineering, and industrial design. As a result of our diversity and commitment to the topic, we believe it's possible to provide a distinct, useful, usable, and desirable angle on the current trend of how companies are growing organically through innovation. We've developed an ability to see current and emerging issues through three sets of eyes, translated into one common transdisciplinary voice. The result is something that can educate the novice and help experienced practitioners in business alike. The potential in companies is not just the ability to create a pool of talent and capability, but how to give diverse teams of people the power, methods, and courage to be creative and to explore new opportunities. As our own example of the power of teams, writing this book required significant give and take for each of us as individuals. The result is a product that's better than any one of us could have written in isolation. In our roles as university professors, our work has evolved into a balance of research, consulting, and teaching that has allowed us to become an example of what we talk about in the book. We're not just reporting what we've observed, we've lived it. We know what it's like to manage interdisciplinary teams of bright, headstrong people and help them produce innovative and patentable solutions through our methods. We've impressed company executives with the ability to take a vague discussion of possible new markets and, using an integrated product development process in a university context, produce insightful, thoroughly developed, and patented products. We've consulted with a wide variety of consumer and business-to-business companies and helped them produce successful products. The first book of two of the authors, Creating Breakthrough Products, has been incorporated into the product development process of many small and large companies alike. As research professors, we've had the opportunity to step back and reflect on what we've observed. We've identified consistent patterns that led to successful innovation. Our goal as writers was to produce a book that organizes and expresses these findings in a way that the Carolines, Ricks, and Pauls of the preceding vignette can incorporate into their way of thinking and practice. In short, it's a book written by people who have lived with, successfully managed, and thoroughly researched the topic. Said another way, we're armchair quarterbacks who've also played the game. This book deconstructs innovation into understandable chunks that form a compelling argument of what innovation is, why it's important, and how you can begin to transform yourself and your company to meet the needs of the current marketplace. You cannot just hire innovative consultants. You have to learn to create an innovative culture organically within your company. That's the only way the core of your brand can be strategically connected to every product you make and service you provide. This book is also about people who are at the heart of the innovation process. We mention two types of people throughout this book: those who purchase and/or use the product or service, and those in companies who are the innovative developers of the products and services. We include scenarios about the users throughout the book to provide a context for each chapter. The scenarios that start these chapters are fictitious. A common practice used in the early phase of development of new products and services, scenarios are often composites that represent critical aspects of the lifestyle tendencies of the intended market. The second type of people referred to are people in companies, and all of these people that we describe in our chapters are real. They've been extremely helpful and supportive in letting us find out what makes them tick and what enables them to become one of the new breed of innovators. We've worked with them in developing many of the case studies throughout this book. This book is written to help you leverage your ability to find a way to thrive in the complex world we find ourselves in. As the often used quote from Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities states, it's the best of times and the worst of times. The side of the coin you choose depends on how effective you are at turning obstacles into opportunities. You cannot plan for the future with the hope of always being lucky to succeed, but you can learn to always take full advantage of opportunities when you see them and increase the odds of success. As you look to the future and account for global economic and societal change, innovation is not everything. It's the only thing. Innovate or perish. Or even worse, innovate or struggle to survive in the ever-tightening downward spiral toward cost-focused commoditization. Because there can only be one cheapest provider, no other choice is left. This book is written in the sequence we'd like you to read it, but each chapter stands on its own for the most part. We strongly suggest reading chapters 1 through 3 before you roam. Chapter 1, The New Breed of Innovator, talks about the new type of innovator, highlighting three outstanding leaders of innovation and aspects of their approach that anyone can use. Chapter 1, like the rest of the book, has a heavy emphasis on people. People are at the center of innovation, as creators of innovative products and as buyers and users of innovative products. A major goal of Chapter 1 is not to simply acquaint the reader to individuals who are known as leaders of innovation, but to help the reader understand their working styles, their goals, and how they manage and work within their organizations to produce great products. Chapter 2, Pragmatic Innovation, The New Mandate, argues that reliance on quality of manufacture initiatives can no longer be your buoy of survival. Quality is now a commodity. Instead, innovation is the only approach to differentiation. In the 1980s and the 1990s, American companies achieved a massive boost in profitability through diligent reduction of costs by seeing efficiency as the golden goose at all levels of the business. Now that companies are lean and efficient, companies have little fat left to trim and must look to top-line growth for profits. Executives that worked their way to the top via their success in cost-cutting must now shift their vision to innovation. Chapter 3, The Art and Science of Business, gives a brief overview of the process of innovation and provides a context for understanding how to make it work for you. Innovation is not a result of luck or the output of special creative-type people, but today's innovative companies rely on disciplined research and procedures to achieve innovation. These procedures for creativity are fundamentally different from what we typically think of as procedures, but they are procedures nonetheless, and they can be learned, used, and adopted by anyone. Anyone, at least, who's willing to intelligently take the uncertainty head-on to risk and endure failure in the disciplined quest for a brilliant idea. The rest of the chapters discuss various aspects of the innovation process. Chapter 4, Identifying Today's Trends for Tomorrow's Innovations, talks about reading trends and converting them into product and service opportunities. In light of the opportunities that are already here in the present, there's no reason to long for unavailable crystal ball forecasts of future prospects. How did the iPod come into vogue, and will Herman Miller's mirror chair revolutionize the seating industry? The earliest work of innovation is to research existing trends and to understand them in the context of customers, because it's market dynamics that provide new opportunities that'll be fulfilled by tomorrow's successful products. Chapter 5, Design for Desire, The New Product Prescription, argues that innovation is about meeting people's desires, about fulfilling their fantasies. The average consumer is full of unmet and unconscious desires for a wide range of experience. Connecting with consumers' emotions and desires will make one product more appealing than another. The right blend of emotion and basic needs drives purchasing decision and maintains brand loyalty and integrity while fulfilling consumer fantasy. Developing a sense of delight and trust in products is at the core of pragmatic innovation, but not just for lifestyle consumer products, but also for functional business products. What do Harry Potter and Lance Armstrong have in common? And what do they have to do with products? Read this chapter and find out. Chapter 6, The Powers of Stakeholders, People Fueling Innovation, presents a new approach to analyzing all the stakeholders who affect or are affected by a product or service, a technique we call a Powers of 10 analysis. Companies know that the customer is central to product development. But it's not enough to design for the customer, because sometimes the most removed stakeholder with the least perceived power can have a significant impact on the product's success. The Powers of 10 analysis helps product developers identify all relevant stakeholders and proactively account for their needs, wants, and desires. Chapter 7, B2B Innovation, the New Frontier of Fantasy, argues that the business-to-business world is ripe for fantasy-driven innovation and that a corporate strategic plan must connect the company to its brand and product. Companies in business-to-business markets often look at innovation as a consumer-driven revolution and not as something that applies to them. Their primary customers have been all about price and functionality, not lifestyle and desire. Because only one company can be the cheapest and most price-driven, commoditization stifles growth. These companies must find the power of innovation. Now the same high-value user experience is starting to be expected even for business-to-business products and services. Meeting these expectations requires not simply research and development, but also a thoughtful strategic plan. Fantasy in the sewer system? Red Zone Robotics shows us how in this chapter. Chapter 8, Making Decisions for Profit, Success Emerging from Chaos, highlights the complexity of making decisions during the process of product development. Innovation is not just about a good idea. It's a process of managing what can appear to be an army of people over a set amount of time making multiple interconnected decisions. Rather than micromanaging, let the product requirements guide the legions who make the detailed daily trade-offs. Yes, these product requirements emerge from an early research and planning stage that is chaotic, but that's good, for the chaos enables exploration and learning. The more you can learn about your market, the better the framework for your decisions. Chapter 9, A Process for Product Innovation, then highlights the detailed process focused on the earliest stages of product development, where innovation takes place. While preceding chapters focus on specific topics, this chapter provides an overview of the innovation process using an example from a research and development relationship between a university and the athletic apparel company New Balance. We describe a process for structuring the early fuzzy front end of product development from opportunity to product approval, showing how innovators implement the process and tools we describe in earlier chapters. Chapter 10, Creating a Blanket of IP to Protect Your Brand from the Elements, follows with a discussion of how to protect innovation and develop brands through the intellectual property system. Innovation is as much about design patent protection and trade dress as it is about utility. Realizing early that your best defense is a total intellectual property offense allows you to keep your brand identity as protected as your technology research and development. Patents are for fixed products, but trade dress, like a diamond, is forever. Why do you Swiffer your floor and not grab it? This chapter tells us about Procter & Gamble's approach to branding. Chapter 11, To Hire Consultants or Build Internally, that is the question, helps you think about developing in-house innovation groups and complementing internal innovation with external consulting. There are many talented product development firms throughout the world, but not all companies can leverage the skills of product developers, both as internal employees and as external consultants. What do they do? How can they do it for you? Which firm do you hire? And how do you manage it? Finally, the epilogue looks at the power of innovation through people and the opportunities they create. Opportunities abound at all levels of society, from the individual to a company to a market to a country, and to civilization and the environment worldwide. This last chapter gives brief scenarios for opportunities at each of these levels and wraps up with a discussion of the people who will design the extraordinary things to come. Looking again to the whole book, now that we've discussed its individual chapters, we begin the book with three people who manage large organizations and who have consistently produced innovative solutions in challenging and highly competitive markets. These individuals set the tone and provide the foundation of this book, because each exemplifies the attributes of the new breed of innovator. As these three evolved in their professional careers, they connected their vocations and avocations to form a broader view, both of what was presently going on and of what was possible in the companies where they worked. As they developed, they were able to balance creative approaches with practical methods and to understand how to balance cost with a vision of how innovation could increase profits. Through a combination of education, personal ability, and effective partnerships, these three evolved into the role of the new breed of innovator, having established and managed environments for pragmatic innovation.